Certainly glad to have all of you with us today. Wow, man, what about the music? Great day. And I got to follow all of that. But we're just going to do the best we can to get in God's Word this morning. While the choir's making their way in and trying to find a seat, go ahead and stand with us, and we'll read a little bit of Scripture this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 9, looking about the first 18 verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. Father, as we come to you today, wow, I'm just amazed. I'm fired up and excited just to be in your house. And the praises that have gone out this morning, getting a chance to meet with some of our young people, inquiring about joining the church. It's been a good day already to be in your house. And God, we're so thankful to be here. Everybody that's here, regardless of what brought them here, if they were drug here or if they came here on their own accord, we're all here now and we're under the gospel. We're praying right now, God, for your Holy Spirit to have his way in our hearts and in our minds. Convict us, draw us, strengthen us, encourage us, forgive us, cleanse us. Whatever needs to happen today, we pray that it happens. As we look into this passage of Scripture, God, I pray that as we look to the life of Ananias, that you'll speak to us, God, and give us what we need today. We'll identify with a lot of things here this morning. And we'll see ourselves, God, and we'll see the decisions that must be made every day in our lives. And I pray that you're glorified. Forgive me, cleanse me. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've looked at this passage numerous times as you have, but we always go to the main subject of it about Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus and how he met Jesus, how Jesus came and appeared to him and talked to him, told him to go to that place in Damascus, go to that home. And then we see God speaking to Ananias and telling him to go pray over him, and, you know, scales basically came off of his eyes. But sometimes we forget about this disciple. We forget about Ananias, and he's got one small little portion of Scripture attributed to himself. And sometimes we forget about the important job that he had. And when I was studying this passage, I've labeled it, just a certain disciple, because that's what he's called. We're going to jump right into verse number 10 again and break down. Hopefully this will encourage you as we look. Verse number 10 of chapter 9 said, "There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord came in a vision." He said, "Ananias," he said, "behold, here I am, Lord." The word "certain," why did he have to say that? Why didn't he just say a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, but he said a certain disciple? Because we needed to know what the word "certain" means. You're going to like this. It means some or any. Some or any. So you could say there was any disciple, or there was some disciple that was in Damascus. There was any disciple that was in Damascus. So what does that really say to us? What does it benefit us when he's talking about Ananias and it calls him just basically any disciple? It's not taking away the importance of who Ananias was. It's not taking away any of his credibility. But I tell you what it is doing, it's letting us know that it could have been anybody in Damascus that is a believer in Jesus Christ that could have been called that day to come and speak and to lay hands and to pray over him. I know a lot of times that we feel inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate? Have you ever felt like I don't have the qualifications? People might look at you and say, well, we feel like people are looking at us and saying, well, what qualifies you to do this or to do that? You're no better than me. And you know something? They're right. Not one Christian is any better than any other Christian. When it comes to the foot of the cross, you know what we like to say? There's level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. All of us are right there together. All of us that are saved by the blood of Jesus, we're equal in the eyes of the Lord. So he is an equal opportunity employer. Amen. And so he's going to give all of us opportunities. You don't have to have certain things to be called by the Lord to his service. Sure, maybe you might have a beautiful singing voice and the Lord wants to utilize that. But you know what? He's taken some people that have the most broken voices ever was to get up and belt one out for Jesus. And it does more work than somebody with the most beautiful voice you've ever heard. It's not really in the talents that we have as much as our willingness to serve God. Amen. And he's going to call you to do things. I was a little late rolling in here this morning. You know, the sound room wondered if I was even going to come in and get the microphone today. I was meeting with four of our young people that are wanting to join the church today. Praise God. And I'll take all time in the world to talk to those young people about the vision for the future and what God has in store there. But you know something? And I shared with them, and I shared with you, then I think about this. Never think that you're less than. Never think that you're not important. Our youth are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now, and God wants to use them in a mighty way. He is. I mean, even if we can just see the top of their head sometimes when they're singing, that's okay. God will use us from the biggest to the littlest, to the oldest to the youngest. And I think that's what's so beautiful about this, is he said there was just any disciple that was there, happened to have a name of Ananias, that Jesus spoke to and called him and told him to come and pray over Saul. It could have been anybody. That encourages me, and hopefully that encourages you to think you are loved by heaven. You have a purpose given to you by heaven. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night, about that purpose. And I know we all long to have that big, major purpose, that major calling, that major thing that God's called us to do. For me, perhaps it would be, preaching. He called me to preach. But it's not so much the fact that we have that main calling as much as we're faithful to the small daily callings that lead along the way and along the journey. You know, anybody can say the Lord's called them to preach, But what are you doing every day when he gives you opportunity to preach to maybe one person at a time as you're walking down the street or as you're sitting across a cubicle from somebody or as you're at a ball game with somebody or wherever you might be? Are we living those lives that are pleasing unto him? Never think that you're not important to heaven. Never think you're less than. And this is something a lot of us probably don't think about when we come to this story of Saul being saved. When Jesus met him and Ananias coming and praying over him. Let's again go over this story briefly. Saul was angry, hated, despised the church. And he said, I want letters from the high priest to be able to go to Damascus and gather up all the Christians I can. I want to bring them in. I'm wanting to bring them in. I'm wanting them dead because they're a threat to our way of life. So you got to imagine the anger that he held inside of him as he left to go to Damascus. His goal is to get every Christian he can. And it, notice it didn't just say men. It said men or women. I don't care who it is. I'm going to get all of them, and I want to bring them in. Anybody that causes a threat to us. On the way, it said a bright light shone, and we believe it to be the presence of Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because Jesus spoke to him, didn't he? Said that Jesus spoke to him. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? And, of course, Jesus identified himself. And we think, my goodness, that, you know, Paul calls himself an apostle out of due season. Why? Because he met the Lord. He saw the Lord. He was called by the Lord, unlike the other fellows that were called while Jesus was here in that physical body. This was after he had died, after he'd went to that tomb, after he'd been resurrected, after he had ascended. He met Paul. He came and saw Paul. And so he is an apostle. We're not apostles. We're disciples, right? But do we forget the fact that Jesus appeared to Ananias in a vision and spoke to him? We forget about that. Yeah, he didn't appear to Ananias the way he appeared to Saul, but he came to him, the Bible says, in a vision, and Jesus spoke to Ananias, any disciple. Some disciple. You mean Jesus is going to take time to talk to just anybody? Yes, he will. He took time to speak to Ananias because he had a task for Ananias. Now, I know that we're not hearing the audible voice of Jesus. We don't have to anymore. Why? Because we're not important? No. But because the Holy Spirit lives inside of everybody that believes in Jesus Christ. You have the voice of Jesus Christ inside of you. He speaks, but he speaks differently than he did when Jesus spoke to Saul or Paul or Saul at the time, and we spoke to Ananias. It's different now. You get that unction. You get that feeling. You get that desire. You get that leadership, and that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. As I shared with our young folks this morning, they were sharing their stories of when they got saved. It was a consistent theme. I felt it. God talking to me, and I couldn't do nothing but give in and ask Jesus to come into my heart. That's how he talks to us today. But he will talk to anybody that will listen. And he's talking to us today. He's calling on us today. He's pleading with us today to make a difference in somebody else's life. So I thought that was beautiful to remind us that just any random some disciple in Damascus, Jesus thought it was important to go directly to him and speak to him. The second thing here in that same verse is not only did he just say, I'm going to talk to some disciple, but he did choose Ananias. And he said to him, Ananias, and he told him, came to him in a vision. Then it says, red letters, if you got the red letters, it says, Ananias, and he said, behold, here I am, Lord. It was personal. Yeah, God can and will speak to anybody, but at the same time, he can become very personal with us. Amen. You know, when these guys got saved, they were sharing their stories with me, and each one of them was individual and unique to the individual. Different ages is when Christ called on them and pleaded with them to come and to get saved. But every story has the same consistency in the fact that they felt that drawing and that it was the Lord that came to them in that moment. Isn't it amazing that God comes to you in your moment? I'll never forget when I got saved. I've told you numerous times, but I was 7 years old playing outside, jumping on a pogo stick. Do they even make them anymore? They're a danger now, aren't they? But the Lord came. Well, maybe that's why the Lord came, because he thought I was going to get killed. But I got saved. Isn't it hard to explain it? It's hard to explain what the Spirit really does. I didn't even really know how to call him a spirit. I didn't know all those things. But what I knew was this. I knew that this little boy had been under the preaching and Sunday school teachers for those 7 years of my life. And I knew something was wrong, because the perfect presence of God came and met with me there and let me know that I was empty, that something was wrong, that I was empty, and only Jesus could fix what it is that was wrong with me. And so that day, however I did it, I didn't say a word, but I think I just cried, and I asked him to come in my heart and my life, however it is that a seven-year-old kid does that. But it was my moment, it was my time. And you know something? God loved me enough to choose that moment in time to come and talk to me personally. Of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, he came to me that day because I was important to him. There's something terrible in society today that we just beat each other to death and degrade each other and despise each other and hate each other. There's such a terrible sentiment there of how we live our lives. We want to increase ourselves and hate on everybody else and destroy everybody else. It makes me feel better. If I belittle you, it makes me feel a little bit better about myself. And that's where the world's at. It's all about me, and we could care less about anybody else. You ever feel beat up? You ever feel, what was it Tim said? Have you had a rough week? Have you ever felt like we're going through it? We're going through the ringer? What was it that Jesus said when he was talking to Peter there near the end, you know, before he was going to get crucified? He said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he said, I've prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed for you. So when you recover, you go strengthen your brethren. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of times in our life that we're going to be down, we're going to feel discouraged, and we're going to feel defeated. But I want you to know that by Jesus coming and speaking the name of Ananias, it reminds us that we have a personal relationship with Christ. It's not like a membership to a club or to an organization where you might be a number. You are an individual, and you're unique to God, and he loves you, and we have a personal relationship. And you know something? Anytime I want to talk to him, I can just talk to him. Amen. Doesn't matter where I am, what's going on in my life, whenever I want to talk to the Lord, I can just talk to him. I'm staying over here because I've got some little eyes fixed on me right here. I hate to move because Preacher Dave loves this. But you know, it's like when your daddy owns a big company and he has a lot of meetings, you know, a lot of things going on to where nobody can get in to see him. And you see a little kid just beep bopping through the secretary, through the main lobby, through the security scanners and going all the way in and opening up that big massive solid wooden door and running right up into the lap of daddy and jumping in it. Nobody stops him. Why? Because that's his son, and he has a right to be there. That's how God feels about you and me. It doesn't matter how busy we think God is. Doesn't matter how many other things he's got going on. He always has time for you and me. So it is a personal relationship, and we need to be reminded of that. Just as Ananias' name was called out, be reminded he loves us, and he calls us by name. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Now, in Acts chapter 22, if you ever get a chance, I want you to take Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22, put those two together and read them, because it's a little bit more information we get in chapter number 22 about this event that happened in chapter number 9. So the next point I want to make is this. God sees a whole lot more in ourselves than we see in ourselves at times. Who is your worst critic? don't say your husband or your wife. You and your husband or wife. We are our own worst critic because we will beat ourselves up, won't we? Because we know the failures in our life. We know the times we completely failed, disappointed, broken hearts. We know the times we just messed up life. But when we get in Acts chapter 23, I'm going to read to you what he says here, beginning in verse number 12. No, wait, let's back up and read 13 and 14 in Acts 9 first. Then we're going to compare the two. After Jesus spoke to Ananias, right? Here's what Ananias said to Jesus. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man." He's already heard, right? "How much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem." He's already heard. This guy that you're telling me you want me to go pray with and put hands on, I've heard what he's done to those Christians that are in Jerusalem. And not only is he that, he's coming to where we're at. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. This is Ananias' response when Jesus says, "Ananias, I want you to go and pray with Saul and to talk to him and encourage him in the ministry. Go down to a street called Straight, and you're going to find him down here in the house of this Judas guy. But Lord, wait a minute, in case you forgot, this is a guy that has killed many Christians in Jerusalem and now has been given a piece of paper that gives him the authority to come and to gather up anybody, man or woman, child, anybody that claims to know Christ and follow him and bring them back to Jerusalem and stand trial." So Ananias is reminding Jesus of this because he thinks Jesus may have forgot. So how is Ananias approaching this calling? Terrified.
Yeah, amen.
How would you approach such a calling in your life? I mean, even if you feel the Spirit drawing you, are we gonna say, "Absolutely, let's go get it"? Are we gonna say, "Wait a minute, let's think about it, Lord, let's talk about it. Can we have a conversation? This guy's got a decree from the high priest to get anybody that calls upon your name and take them back and put them in prison." All right, now let's jump forward to chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 12. And here is how Saul responded to what he saw in the life of Ananias. "And one Ananias, a devout man." Okay, he's already a different guy, right? Saul at the time, when he saw him coming in, he said, "Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, he came unto me, and he stood, and he said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one," talking about Jesus, "and should hear the voice of his mouth." So we have two completely conflicting views of the situation. What happened here? Well, Ananias looked at himself and he thought, "Man, I'm scared to death to go down there. I'm afraid he'll just kill me. I'm afraid there'll be an ambush and I'm going to die in my own hometown because the Lord sent me to pray over this man that hates Christians." But when he finally chose to go in and he went into that house, here's how Saul, he was presented unto Saul. This is what Saul saw. He saw a man that was devout, a man that was faithful, a man that was courageous in the Lord. So what do we have in those conflicting views? We have a changed man. We have a man that became more than he ever thought he could be when he chose to be obedient to God. You may be terrified at some of the things God's asking you to do. You may be struggling with it. It may be decisions in your life, in your personal life, in your family. It may be big financial choices. I don't know what it is, but maybe the Lord's talking to you about some things in your life that need to be changed. You're scared to make those choices, even though you know it's God talking to you and you know what you're supposed to do. Yet we're terrified. We see ourselves as cowards. We see that there's nothing we can accomplish. I'm just little, you know. What did Gideon say when God called him? He said, I'm the least in my family, Lord. I'm nobody. I can't do anything. Look at me. I'm a coward hiding behind the press over here so nobody sees me. I'm fearful of my life. Then what did God, the angel, say that God said about Gideon? He said, mighty man of valor. Now, is God a liar? No. Was he acting like a mighty man of valor? No. But that's what God saw in him. God sees more in you and me than we see in ourselves. God sees a courage and a faithfulness there. And that's why God calls us to do certain things. It's because of what he sees in us. Because he sees the vision. He sees what can be done in your life when we surrender unto him. I wonder how many things I have cheated myself out of because I've not been faithful to God. Because I limit what I can do. I look at my talents and gifts and abilities, and I'm thinking, well, that's not going to happen here, God. You apparently knocked on the wrong door. You meant to talk to somebody else. Or when we feel as though the Spirit's talking to us about doing something, well, you need to do this, or you need to do that. We'll look around the room, or we'll think about people that we're connected to, and we'll find somebody else that we feel would be way better equipped at doing that than we would be. Has God ever told you you need to go witness to somebody and ask them if they're saved? Yeah. Scares you to death, don't it? Huh? Be honest. Terrifies us at times, don't it? Unless you've done it a lot, you're nervous about talking to somebody about the Lord. Well, goodness, I've worked with them for 15 years. We've never even talked about church or anything. And you want me to go ask them if they're saved? That's going to be weird. Got an idea. I'm going to call the preacher. I'm going to get him in on this. I'm going to get him to go talk to my friend so I don't have to be weird when I go up and just randomly ask them if they've been saved or they go to church anywhere. Whoo, that takes me off the hook, doesn't it? Who did God come and speak to?
That's right.
Whose name did he call? When he came to Ananias, he said, Ananias, you go. You see, God sees way more in us than we see in ourselves. Yeah, just because perhaps somebody that's a preacher, a teacher, whatever it might be, maybe has talked to a few more people than you about salvation. Maybe they've led a few more people to the Lord than maybe you have. But listen, that is completely irrelevant to the situation you're in right now. If God is speaking to your heart about anything, there is a reason he's talking to you. There's a reason that he's calling your name, because he's got something he wants you to do. Yeah, maybe you need to get some people to go with you. Maybe there's strength in numbers. I don't know. But when the Spirit of God speaks to us, understand this: God sees more in us than we see in ourselves. Then finally, it comes down to where we find Ananias after Jesus has spoken. He's heard what's going on in the life of Saul. He knows Saul's over here waiting on him to show up. And he even went so far as to say that he's already seen a vision of this guy, Ananias, coming in and praying over him. So I'm wondering if Ananias is thinking, how many more Ananiases are here in Damascus? Can we get another one of them guys to go down there? He knew it was him, and he knew he needed to make a decision. So in verse number 17, here's what happens. Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. You see, after Jesus spoke to Ananias, came the most difficult thing in life, a choice. We face choices every day. You choose a lot of things. You choose a lot of things, not even realize it, right? We choose probably thousands Thousands of choices are made in the course of a day, and we don't even realize it. Because with everything that happens, there is a choice for us to make. When the Spirit of God lays something at us, when He speaks our name, and when we are burdened with something, then we are forced to make a choice. Now, here's how some people approach that. And I've been guilty of it too. You know, I try to do this. When God speaks, it's like, well, I'm just going to almost act like I didn't hear Him. I'm just going to back up, and I'm just going to act like as I'm going to start playing music real loud. I'm going to do anything I can to avoid, you know, I'm going to pull a Jonah. I'm going to do everything I can to ignore the situation so I don't have to deal with it. So I'm not going to make a choice. To not make a choice is to make a choice. We either follow the leadership that the Spirit gives or we reject the leadership that the Spirit gives. It's plain and simple. Moses' line in the sand, you can't stand on the line. You can't straddle the line. You have to be on one side of the line or the other. We have to make those choices. And I think it's wonderful that Ananias chose to go his way and to go down the street, to go in and pray with Saul, and to see those scales come off his eyes. Because you know what happened because Ananias did that? He had a part in every soul that was saved under the ministry of Paul. Little Ananias, we've got just a handful of verses attributed to him in the Bible. But the man helped usher in, outside of Jesus, the greatest evangelist in the entire world. Why? Because any disciple that Jesus called by name chose to be obedient to Him and go pray with somebody and became part of the greatest movement ever was. Listen, you never know what choice you make. Today may affect thousands of people, millions of people, I don't know. You don't know. It may just affect one, but you know something? If it just affects one, it's worth it. You got choices to make today. I can see it in your face. We all have choices, things we're struggling with right now. You may be here and struggling with salvation. You may be like Saul. Maybe you're not condemning and killing Christians, but man, I'm not saved yet. Maybe you've never experienced what it means to be a child of God, and you've got a choice to make today. Just like our young people, they said, when that Spirit hit me, buddy, I had to get up there and get on that altar. Maybe today that Spirit is pleading with you and calling you, and He's calling you by name and letting you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Today could be a day of salvation for you. But if you are saved, you're faced every day with these choices. God's talking to you right now. Maybe He's already telling you, as soon as the preacher shuts up and gets out of the way, you need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe He's telling you that right now, but you're thinking, oh man, I'm going to have to step over six people to get out of here. So we're already backpedaling. If God's calling you, He's calling you for a reason. It may not be so much for you as much as somebody else seeing you come up here. I don't know what it's about. But I do know this. When we're faced with a decision and we choose to disobey God, we have rejected the leadership of God Himself. But when we choose to obey Him, there are blessings to us and blessings to those that are around us. Choose today, as Ananias did, choose wisely. Stand with me.